Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a molecular tour of insulin. And I thought, oh, I've done nicotine. Nicotine, it's only got the barest sketch of it. Caffeine, I've got a strong sketch of it in my head. I'll have to go back and reboot my memory. But then I thought, insulin, it's got to be pretty simple, ain't it? And then, I'd say there's a bit going on in insulin, but it's trying to get to the roots of insulin is really a really useful thing, and the actual tour will go via garlic. I'll have to actually go my memory there. So insulin is, what is it? It's the juice which is put out by your body into your bloodstream, and it either tells your cells to absorb or to chew up the sugar. It controls the sucrose sugar levels of your blood. So two little hypo and hyperglycemic. I just remembered that's what the actual element of beryllium used to be, G for glucose. There you go. But so sugar in your you get too much sugar in your blood, it will actually turn your blood into a viscous cell killer, too little, and your cells will die. And insulin is really important to regulate the sugar uptake of your blood. So what essentially happens is that your cells operate by eating sugar and feeding it to its captive bacteria called the mitochondria. So different cells, depending on what they have to do, will have different amount of captive bacteria. So we don't call it a captive bacteria, we tend to think of bacteria as a separate organism, but the mitochondria is sort of an enslaved organism. It's, your mitochondria is sort of like the Dobby, a house elf inside your cell. It's, it does a magical stuff. So it eats the sugar and gives your cell the food that's really interested in, which is the phosphate rechargeable batteries. It really is the phosphate, the ATP, adenine triphosphate, gets charged up and circulates in your body at a fairly high in your cells at fairly high speed, taking up the sugar. And the sugar uptake is regulated by the insulin. Now, this is again a memory thing. I used to have it all in my head. I had lessons in my head. That's all been wiped dry. So this is a way into it. So I thought, oh look, give me a lecture to us. Let's have insulin. And when I looked at it, I would guess, top of my head, I think there'd probably be 1,000 atoms in insulin. And it's something which defies atom by atom description. You need a bigger canvas to talk things about. And essentially, insulin is a complex. Okay, complex doesn't really mean all that much, but it's a combination of two proteins. Okay, that's not telling you much, but by the end of this you'll understand what a protein is. And a protein has typically on one end of it an amine, which is an NH2, and on the other end a carboxylic acid, which is a C and two O's. So that's your two proteins, are these strings of amino acids. And off my top of the head, there's a insulin that's got insulin A protein and insulin B protein, and the two clip together to form a little globule, which is a little sphere of active stuff, and this protein goes around and docks with the cells and says, "Hey, mate, what are you doing with your sugar?" "Just chewing up on the insulin here." I've got to remember what how the insulin cycle goes, but it's completely gone from my head. But, so if I can explain to you what a protein is, a protein is like a piece of string. Cut a piece of string, and that's a protein. It's just a string, a little beaded length of amino acids. It's 20 amino acids, in humans at least. 20 amino acids, or mammals, I suppose, might be the same thing. So I wonder if, how far that goes back. But plants have a different set of amino acids. This is why, no matter how much you cook over human, you can't make them smell like some of the plants. It's just two separate worlds. So a lot of plant aromas are due to proteins, which we don't recognize. So the 20 amino acids which make up the proteins are different from a protein that you would eat. A protein from a plant may have some other amino acids which or proteins in insects, for instance, might be different. So what's a protein? So there's two lengths of strings. Which A is long and B is shorter, and they link together. These two proteins link together and they curl together up in a ball, little balls of string. So it's like a ball of string, but falling apart, there's these two strings, two separate strings. So let's do the amino acid things. The amino acids is two hydrogens stuck to a nitrogen. The nitrogen is then stuck to a carbon. That carbon has a hydrogen plus a side chain. So remember the side chain, then that links, it's got four bonds, and that's the carbon, one to the nitrogen, one to the hydrogen, one to the side chain, and one to the next carbon up, which is got two bonds to an oxygen and another bond to a OH, which is an alcohol. But the OOH or double OH, C double OH, is carbolic acid. Now, an acid plus a base gives you salt plus water. In this case, a amino acid plus an amino acid gives you the amino acids stuck together like a salt plus water given off. So amino acids can actually be strung together quite easily by just casting off water. And so what casting off water is, you take a hydrogen off the nitrogen, an OH off the acid, the COOH, the water gets H2O, and the carbon plus an oxygen gets linked to the nitrogen plus a hydrogen, gets linked to the carbon plus oxygen plus side chain, gets linked to another carbon plus an oxygen, gets, and so on. So you look down the side chain, it goes, you look down the molecule, they're pretty easy to see. It goes nitrogen, carbon plus side chain, carbon plus oxygen, nitrogen. Okay, and I'm leaving out a few of the oxygens, it's full of the hydrogens in there. But so it goes, you can say this with me, a protein goes, I should have a guitar to do this and do a bit of a song. So it goes, nitrogen, carbon plus side chain, carbon plus oxygen, nitrogen. Carbon plus side chain, carbon plus oxygen, nitrogen. And that's carbon plus oxygen to nitrogen is where the amino acid comes together. The amino plus the acid, the base plus the acid comes together and links together and forms this long chain. And so that's what a protein is, my friends. Now, I must admit that these the most bizarre lessons I have ever done is where I go in and I play guitar and sing to the kids a science song. Now, the thing is, A, I can't sing, B, I can't play, but they just, there's this magic which comes on, and they all sit around, and it's just the most appalling thing possible, but they're all mystified by it. I don't know, and this is normally where I'm teaching sound. Let me sing you a song. I think I what I I think I'm as good a singer as Christopher Plummer. Now, Christopher Plummer is a better singer. Look, we may as well give you a quick Christopher Plummer story, and then we'll get back into this one. So this is an advert for it. So let's go to the theme. There is a Protein song, which I'll sing at some stage. So nitrogen plus carbon side chain plus carbon oxygen. I can't do it. I can't see it. But let's go back to Christopher Plummer, because this is a worthwhile story. So Christopher Plummer is the narrator for Madeline, and he's the Georg Schroeder in Sound of Music. And this is Sound of Music. People love it. And this is one movie you cannot say. There's sort of these various continuity errors. And if you want to make yourself unpopular, you have a whole group of mums looking at this, and you say, oh, what's the problem? Oh, this continuity error, they had it. But in the making of it, they had the real Disney, I suppose Disney did it. They had the real Maria von Trapp as an authenticity expert. And there was Christopher Plummer. Now, Christopher Plummer hated Julie Andrews. There's one thing, he hated Julie Andrews. So he just couldn't stand her. She was all bright and young, and so the more he had it, the more he drank. The more he was drunk, the more horrible he was, the more he just hated Julie Andrews. And the actual real, not Maria Julie Andrews, but the actual Maria von Trapp, and he was a bit drunk and a bit hot, came up there and said, you know, look, you got the whatever his name was, the captain, you've got the captain all wrong. He wasn't like this. And Christopher Plummer, who you can imagine being a bit whiskey breath, said, what the hell would you know about Maria von Trapp? And he actually said that to the real Maria von Trapp. And so that's a great story. So hopefully I don't do that sort of things. But let's go back to the proteins. And what we've done there is given you a bit of a sidetrack, and to see if we can get you back into it. I'm doing an excuse for doing a sidetrack, but this is to do what the protein is. A protein is a string of amino acids. And all proteins, necessarily, if you grab the amino end of the protein and the acid end of the protein and pull it out straight, you'll get a nice linear string of amino acids. And now, what's happened here is that there's some magical way that proteins stick together. They either stick internally together, and they fold, and they go across. Now, there's a zillion ways that, there's hydrogen bonding, so an OH and an O group in there. There's pi bonding, which is two flat, you've got those two your rings, you've got, sometimes you've got five ring, and sometimes you've got a other ring. There's charge bonding, you can have a charged amino acids. This is all on the side chains. You've got 20 chains, and you've got charged, non-charged, polar, non-polar, and you've also got sulfur. And sulfur is just the bee's knees. The jewel and crown of amino acids is the two little sulfurs, and one's a social sulfur, and one's just a sulfur in name only. And the other one, which is not such a attractive sulfur, but the sulfur one is the one which gives the protein so much character. So I really didn't understand albumin until I looked at the sulfur bonds structured across, and then you could see how it is. Or there's other ones where the nitrogen stick up from what it was trying, and then that can interact with a heme molecule, and that together gives the heme molecule its resonance structure. So there's all sorts of things going in a protein. So a protein has got 20, it's like troll beads or what's the other beads? There's some other really stupid beads. Oh, I've forgotten. They're beads so you can remember. And I remember I had to go in. I have really forgotten the name of these beads. Oh, there you go. I've forgotten the name of these beads. These beads that there's little silver beads, and it's something you can buy for people, and you buy it for the various children, one for each child, and one for this ceremony. They're silver beads. I've really forgotten what they are, but it's similar to that. But you've got to, and you can make up. The order can make up a huge difference in it all. We're going to go into the sulfur, and I'll just talk a little bit about the sulfur. I'll just see if I can remember some of the stuff. So the sulfur-bearing amino acid, which I'll tell you about, is the one which does so much to make the insulin work. So really, if you know this, you can really understand it. Now, this sulfur is stuck in such a way that it's got its electrons hanging out there, the hydrogen can drop off, and it can form a sulfur-sulfur bond. So these particular, I think it's CYS cysteine, you pronounce it cysteine. Oh God! The problem here is that I've got this tucked away in my memory as diagrams, as pictures. The words, I think it's cysteine. Yes, cysteine. Yep, various ones. Cysteine. Let's call it CYS. I think is the three-letter code for your amino acid. And cysteine is basically your amino acid. Well, it's going to be molecular too. I'm going to talk you through this one safe, but it's a amino acid which is sort of flaunting its sulfur. I just have to mentally get this in my head. So as I've gone through, I've got this brain freeze, and you're going to have to stick with me and check it out yourself. I have had to say it. Yeah, you'll have to. No, I think I've got it right. Yeah, so I'm just thinking here. It's not going to affect anything, but it's just one of these things I have to go back, and this is one of the reasons I'm doing this, is to actually really stress and strain to memorize these things. So cysteine is this amino acid, a little subsection of a protein, and the protein is made out of a string of amino acids. So one or some of the chains in here are the sulfur ones, and the sulfur ones are the super ones which make sulfur-sulfide bonds. Now the A protein, there's an A and a B protein of different lengths. The A protein has four cysteines, and so your first cysteine, your second cysteine, your third cysteine, and your fourth cysteine. The second and third form an internal sulfur-sulfide bond inside the A protein. So it actually begins to fold the A protein up, and the fold is held in together by a bonding which goes between the two sulfurs. So the sulfur can actually bond with each other, and I've got to really think about what the actual bond is. I don't know whether it's a hydrogen bond or a chemical bond. I have to really think about that. So this is the sulfur. Now the sulfur is really important in proteins. It's the sulfury yellow in your egg yolk. It's the smell of farts is your sulfur. So it's really important here. So in this, in your in your insulin, in the A1, there are four sulfur bonds, four cysteine amino acids. Two of those cysteines stick together, the two and three stick together, fold your A over, which really sort of gets the protein beginning to fold. And then the other two are ready to bond with any other protein, and you perhaps guessed it, the B protein, which is has two cysteines. And so those two sulfurs bond across each other and link the bind the A to the B, and of course there's other things which repel and attract in the protein, which coil up, and each animal has a different sequence, well, the same general idea, but a different sequence of insulin. So it turned out that dog insulin and human insulin, it's a little bit different, but the dog insulin works with humans. And so what used to happen in very early days is that these famous people in Toronto used to go around capturing, in the middle of the night, stray dogs around Toronto to ask them, please, may I have your pancreas? Woof, woof. And yet their pancreas is gone, and what they're able to do is actually, diabetes used to be a fatal disease, and they're able to give some help with the aid of these dogs. This is the isolation of insulin, to realise that diabetes was an insulin disease very early on. Good on you, Canadians. So if we can look at the cysteine, we can see, so the protein is stuck together really well at the sulfur bonds. Bits of the protein are repelling each other, so they can be lifted off. Other bits of the protein stick together, and it's all how the two proteins fold together to tell you the difference between show how the actual insulin can act as a key, as a signaler. So it basically, insulin comes along and sort of irritates these cells into behaving a certain way to uptake glucose and stuff like that. Now we should say that your stomach sucks out the sugar from your sugary cups of tea, and rather than you just going completely hypo, hitting your sugar high, it actually packs it away into your liver, and your liver gets instructions to the rest of your body and releases out sufficient sugar, and your pancreas, which is attached to your liver, also plays a role. So there's a beautiful hormone accelerator system. I'll have to go back and listen to it, but we are doing a molecular tour of insulin. So insulin is two proteins are strings of amino acids. The amino acids have these beautiful things called cysteine. Now let's do a tour of cysteine, and I'm pretty sure this is it. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm absolutely sure it is now. I've sort of remembered it now. Okay. So it's going in my head. It's interesting that I had to think of another amino acid and move it across. So cysteine, serine, yep, okay. So let's do a tour of 1, 2, 3, 4 amino acids. So I'm just going to chew my tongue off. The most simple amino acid is glycine, and what could be simpler than no side chain and a hydrogen instead? So it goes a nitrogen, carbon with no side chain. It's just two hydrogens, carbon with an oxygen, and that's your glycine. That's your simplest amino acid. This is, if you order an amino acid and you get glycine, you've been a bit shortchanged. It's the amino acid you have when you're not having an amino acid. There's a famous Australian drink from the 90s, I think, oh no, 80s, called Clayton's. And there's just a real Australian in a bar saying, "Clayton's, the drink you have when you're not having a drink." And from now on, from anything which is not really genuine, not really full strength, is called Clayton's. So, glycine, why, GLY, I think it's every amino acid's got a 3-letter code to help you remember it. Glycine. Now we come across to serine. Is that a SER code? Look, I'm really just, I haven't really studied this. I've just looked at the chart and hopefully it's burnt in. Serine is the next one. And it's hydrogen, carbon with a side chain, then carbon with an oxygen, and so on. That side chain for serine is a carbon with an alcohol group, an OH. So it goes carbon, bonds to a oxygen. Oxygen's got two bonds, one to the carbon and one to a hydrogen. So that's your, basically it's the alcoholic version of the simplest sort of alcohol of, like it's a amino acid alcohol, basically. And that's a really important one, because what we can start doing is do our periodic magic, and we can, if it's oxygen, we can just move up the periodic table and put in sulfur, which is a cysteine, or we can move up the table again, and for some species, some things, we can put selenite in there, and eventually you can put telluride in there. You know, you can put all those things in, obviously you get different things. Now, humans humans only do oxygen and sulfur. I think some insects and some bugs use selenite in there. Obviously you've got 20 to play with. There's no selenides hanging around in amino acids. Not for us humans. Serine, S-E-R-I-N-E, amino acid. This is a bit hard for me to memorize. Cysteine, which is the sulfur one, which is the really super active one that we like. And that's got a hydrogen on it, so it's hydrogen bonds that can do heaps of damage. So it's a cysteine one is the one to watch, because the cysteine likes to bond to another cysteine. So if you've got a protein which has got a few cysteines in it, if the cysteines are not too far apart, it'll fold and bond cysteine to cysteine. Or if they're far apart and moved apart due to one fold, that's ready to bond to a second protein. So you can make a complex of, I think hemoglobin, the globin bit has got four separate stringy molecules in it to look at what's going on. So that's an interesting thing to look at. And insulin's a very interesting one, because it's just a protein. Sometimes the proteins have a chemical inside it, and sometimes they're actually designed for chemical reactions. There's just an amazing things, these proteins. So we've done glycine, serine, cysteine, and there's another one which we've got to have to mention, because there's only two sulfur amino acids. The other one is met something or other. So there's one which I do like, which is unrelated. It's called which is the from asparagus one. You know, he first isolated it from asparagus, so there. But this Met scene is one which goes nitrogen, carbon with the side chain, to carbon with an oxygen. But the side chain is carbon, carbon, hydrogen, carbon. So the sulfur can no longer play with its hydrogen. Once it plays with its hydrogen, it can do all sorts of fun. That sulfur's just in there. Now, I wonder what the Met is. I can't think of what the biological function of the Met is. Oh, yeah. So, this is... but it evidently must have some sort of function. I don't know, in terms of being a food or making some sort of chemical. There. So the Met one is the fourth one, and it's the side chain is carbon, carbon, sulfur, carbon, and the sulfur is like a link, like an ester link, an ether link. So if it's got just an oxygen actually inside the chain, that's an ether link. If it's oxygen inside the chain and one of the carbons got an oxygen on it, that's an easier thing to do. That's an alcohol and an acid with the water taken away. That's an ester. So this is sort of like an ester, but an ether, but a sulfuride ether. So it's got some, must have some really interesting properties there. So that's that Met one. That's extinguishing a little bit of my memory. What I'll go back is I'll sleep on it for a while, wake up next morning and put things across. Look, I must admit, I'm out here in Glenbrook. Glenbrook's got all these bright lights. The village is brightly lit. Some of the walkways in the park are brightly lit. But the sky is absolutely brilliant. You can see right up the Milky Way. You can see Sagittarius. Sorry about that. You can see a planet there. I'm just wondering what that one is. It's probably Jupiter. It is Jupiter up there. See the Southern Cross. It's a beautiful, beautiful night. So it's going to be a damn, either hot day. Hot day tomorrow. It's not too cold at the moment. As long as there's a bit of moisture in the air. And if there's been a bit of rain, it doesn't freeze as much as tonight. Up in the mountains. Okay, getting back to it. So this Met one, a really interesting story. And there's a another compound, an amino acid, which is in plants. Okay, so plants, you have a new amino acid. Obviously, a plant doesn't need to make different types of proteins, different types of things. And there's the plant, a amino acid in garlic, which is alien, and your amino acids is a nitrogen, a carbon, plus a side chain, plus a carbon and an oxygen. That's the backbone of the amino acid. That's the clippy bit, and the side chain goes a carbon to a sulfur to a carbon to a doubly bonded carbon. Now that's sort of like, that's powerful stuff. In terms of, I don't know of any human, and there must be human molecules, any animal molecule which has a double bond just sitting inside it. And now, you've got that polyunsaturated margarine. So a saturated means there's hydrogens everywhere. If there's double bonds, it's unsaturated. So there's a few polyunsaturated bits there. But so this is a pretty amazing amino acid. This is a plant amino acid. If it's in you, you're probably the Hulk or something weird happening with you. So let's try and really, really think about this. So this is a nitrogen. Carbon with a side chain, carbon with an oxygen. The side chain goes carbon, sulfur, carbon with a So sulfur, then to a carbon, then the next carbon long is a double bonded carbon. So rather than having that terminal carbon having three hydrogens, that is one bond to the carbon and three bonds to nitrogen, it's got two bonds to carbon and only two hydrogens on the end, which is quite good. So how does garlic get garlicky? Because as you should know, you pick up a garlic and you smell it, it doesn't smell garlicky. There is something which happens when you cut the garlic, when you are the goat or whatever animal, you chew the garlic, and what happens is that this enzyme, which is a protein with sort of mechanical Swiss Army knife sort of protein, comes along and cuts this up. I've actually forgotten completely. I remember the element, I think it may be A-L-L-I-R-I-N, allyrin. So it's allyrin with double I-N. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's almost Swedish the way it goes. And then this enzyme comes along and produces your garlic molecule. So I promised that I'd do insulin, but I am actually winding up on garlic because there's sulfur, the bonding of sulfur you can get into, and we've done the... that's hard. Oh, cysteine and MET, which is your sulfur ones. Alin is the plant one. And it goes like this. So this gets two of these little babies, these two alins, and says, snips off the amino acid of one, and snips off the amino acids together, and sticks two sulfurs together, and sticks an oxygen on it. So it goes carbon, double bond, carbon to a sulfur, which is then bonded to a second sulfur, which is bonded to an oxygen, which is then bonded to a carbon, which is then bonded to a double bond to a carbon. So it's carbon, double bond, carbon, sulfur, sulfur with an oxygen to a carbon, then carbon, double bond. So I might post this up there. And this is your, this is the chemical, chemical, which is this lovely sort of oily, yellowy chemical, because it's yellowy because of the sulfur amount of it. So garlic's a fantastic source of sulfur, but it's also a light molecule which can go out and taste bad and send out a huge scent, which I suppose is supposed to put off your animals at a certain stage. So unfortunately, it hasn't put off humans because we've been able to, in our weird taste world, use it. And so for me, that's a really interesting thing. And this this sulfur bond actually inside the molecule with the oxygen stabilizing it. So if you can imagine, the oxygen's red, the sulfur's yellow, the carbons are black. So it goes, I'll just repeat it again, carbon to a carbon with a double bond, then to a carbon, then to a sulfur, then to a sulfur with an oxygen, then to a carbon. So what I actually think is, I think the oxygen in my head, I don't know whether the oxygen has to stick on either one of the carbon. I don't know. For me, I can sort of imagine the oxygen getting a bit upset and walking between the two sulfurs. I can sort of imagine an isomeric thing. So it's almost an epoxy. So, an epoxy is the oxygen's bound to two carbons. So that's not quite correct, but it is a very interesting sort of molecule. It's almost like an ozone, sulfur ozone molecule sitting in the center. And you can imagine this would be very reactive, and it would probably be a poison to some animals. I understand that onion is a poison to dogs and stuff like that. So it's obviously developed there in this fantastic way, perhaps garlics were a lot more toxic, and we've just actually bred particular things across. So I suppose the joy of this particular one is being free to actually roam into insulin, and when you roam into insulin, you review what a protein is and how two proteins can stick together. Then you have a little tour, a little dip into the amino acids, and we've done 1, 2, 3, 4 amino acids. That's a good thing. There's only 20 amino acids. Doing 4 is 20%. That's 1 in 5 amino acids we've done, and we've done the important sulfur ones. One which is a really obvious sulfur bond. What is the other sulfur? How is it used? I don't know. We'll see if we can find out. And it's been a good exercise for me because I've been able to retain and outsource information there and talk about it. But it's also really good in terms of the actual knowledge of amino acids. You can go out and you can actually track the amino acids from the human amino acids to non-human amino acids, and then track it and actually wind up with garlic, which is a beautiful thing. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.